frigid Monday. I'm sick of this crap. I want this to go away.
Well, yeah. It's overstayed its welcome. The cold weather has way overstayed its welcome.
March comes in like a lion, out like a lamb. Is that what's supposed to happen?
That's supposed to be, but this.
I heard Tom Skilling say, and I could be wrong, that March temperatures are typically in the 50s.
Oh, really? Here?
40s and 50s?
In Chicago?
I don't know. I heard somebody say
I don't know. That seems idealistic. He's Tom Skilling. I'm not going to question
him. Maybe it wasn't him. I won't credit him with saying
that. Was it one of the many Tom Skilling impersonators
yes.
that we now see?
Like the Elvis impersonators,
right.
There are now a whole handful
was
of...
Was it Rick Tom Skilling Saucedo pretending that he was... Because I can see through that ruse in a minute. Very...
Rick Tom Skilling Saucedo?
Yes.
You're funny.
Very, very upsetting news
I can't
out of
get
Hollywood.
Over this.
Luke Perry dying earlier this morning. Oh, that's so sad.
Beverly Hills 90210 star Luke Perry dead at 52 after massive stroke. Wow.
Now, you're going to have to help me a little bit because I never saw a minute of Beverly Hills 90210. I know who he is. I know he was on the show. But was he one of... on
he was
the show,
stud.
Shannon Doherty and her brother moved to Beverly Hills. But was he the brother... Or was he the guy that already lived in Beverly Hills? You didn't see it either, did you?
Yeah, I watched it, but I can't remember.
You know if he was one of the brother-sister people who moved there?
I gotta tell you, I didn't follow the plot line that much.
No.
I just looked at him and watched it. Hmm. What I mean, he has been
Who's
on
the other guy on the show?
Jason Priestley.
Jason Priestley.
And he's Jenny Garth.
He's all right.
What, look-wise?
No, I mean... Health-wise, Shannon Doherty's had horrible health issues the last couple of years.
She had a brush with cancer,
yeah.
Breast cancer.
Yeah, awful.
He played Dylan, I know that. And he had also, Luke Perry played Dylan on 90210. He had also been on Riverdale.
Archie's father on Riverdale.
Since the show's inception? Because that's been
so.
On.
I'm pretty sure,
jeez.
Yeah.
Jeez. And I was hearing...
He's only 52, right?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, this is when I start getting worried.
Well,
yeah.
As soon as you... I know you're not supposed to quote Louis C.K., but one of the best things Louis C.K. ever did was he talked about turning 50, and he goes, if you die before you're 50, people will go, I can't believe that guy died. How old is he? 49 and he died? But if you're 50 and you die, people go, well, the guy was 50.
All right, that I don't agree with anything he says or does, Louis C.K.
But there's something to that.
No.
There is.
Listen, on your 49th year on this earth,
yes.
I've never seen you like this, but you would not discuss your birthday. You did not want a cake or anyone to mention it.
But I'm like that every year.
You were really different that year. And once you turn 50, it's like, you know you don't want anything, and we don't do anything
yeah.
for you. But
yeah.
that was...
You could do something.
You said
Nobody
you
does
didn't
anything.
Want it.
Nobody does anything.
And my husband will be turning 50 this at the end of this month.
Admit it, he's having a hard time with it, isn't he?
Not openly, but I think that he is definitely bothered by this.
Because you,
I didn't
that
care.
Number's so serious, that 50 is it's a half a century. It's serious.
All right, well, when you put it that way.
It's a long time.
I was anxious to turn 50 because I looked pretty good for 50.
For 50.
I don't look pretty good for 56, but I looked good for 50.
Anytime
6 years ago, I was okay.
Whenever anyone throws in the qualifier of, for your age, you go, oh, it was going so well until then. Come on.
Luke Perry had also filmed a role in Quentin Tarantino's upcoming Charles Manson movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I didn't know that.
And it was just last week that Fox announced it had closed a deal for a reboot of Beverly Hills 90210 titled 90210.
Wait, didn't they just reboot it a couple years ago?
It was going to air this summer. Original cast members Jason Priestley, Jenny Garth, Ian Ziering. Now, he pronounced, or Ian.
Ian Ziering.
Remember? Because
yeah.
I'm like, that's weird. Ian Ziering, Gabrielle Carteris.
We had her on once. She was very nice.
Brian Austin Green and Tori Spelling had signed to return to the reboot,
I got Tori
but Perry had not. Tori Spelling, leave her alone. She's had a messed up life with her crazy husband and her kids. And why do a reality show?
The craziest story in the history of Hollywood is that she auditioned for Beverly Hills 90210, and she insisted that nobody knew that she was the producer's daughter, Aaron Spelling's daughter, despite the fact that she used her real name and she looks exactly like Aaron Spelling. But she insists she got that role on her own merits, that nobody in the casting process had any idea that she was Aaron Spelling's daughter. You couldn't look more like a guy than she looks like her dad.
I know, but listen, she just wanted to make it on her own, and you know what? If your dad was Aaron Spelling, you would have been on that show, too.
But she insists the opposite. You don't.
When's
you don't
the last
hold
time
that
you heard her talk about this? This was
well,
something
now she's fighting with her husband in the press forever now. But back then, whenever anybody would call her out on it, she'd go, oh, no, nobody knew. I made sure that nobody knew I was the daughter of the producer. Oh, because looking exactly like him wouldn't be a clue at all. And having the same name, I'm sure nobody suspected.
I don't recall her trying to hide it because it was pretty obvious.
Oh, for years.
It was all in the announcements, you know, and Aaron Spelling's daughter set to play.
What once the show was established, but she said, yeah, when they were first casting it. Sure, we believe you.
I don't care about bitterness, Bill. I care about tragedy here. Actor Luke Perry, 52, passed away today after suffering a massive stroke. He was surrounded by his children, Jack and Sophie, fiance Wendy Madison Bauer, ex-wife Minnie Sharp, mother Ann Bennett, stepfather Steve Bennett, brother Tom Perry, sister Amy Coder, and other close family and friends. The family appreciates the outpouring of support and prayers that have been extended to Luke from around the world. Respectfully request privacy in this time of great mourning. No further details will be released at this time.
It's so sad.
He was hospitalized on February 28th after suffering a massive stroke at his home in Sherman Oaks, California. His former 90210 cast members, Ian Ziering and Shannon Doherty, took to social media to show their support for Perry, whose health emergency coincided with an announcement about a 90210 reboot. Although he was the only one who was sort of holding out. He didn't confirm.
I think because the Riverdale show is such a hit, he's like, why do I need to do it?
At Sunday's, the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation's Compassion Project Gala, or do you say Gala, in Los Angeles, Doherty spoke with E.T. about Luke Perry. I can't talk about it here because I will literally start crying, but I love him and he knows I love him. It's Luke and he's my Dylan, she continued, referring to their iconic characters. I find it shocking. 52 years old and no rhyme or reason. I had heard that he had been pretty healthy and
he looked like he was in good shape.
Yeah.
Right?
He returned to television in 2017, landing the role as Fred Andrews, Archie's father on Riverdale.
Who, by the way, if you remember in Archie comics, he doesn't look anything Archie's, not even a little bit. Like with the other people on the show, there's a resemblance, but he's physically almost the opposite of what Archie Andrews' dad was in the comics.
Mr. Andrews was not hot, let's put it that way.
No, he was not.
Now, guy.
Big Ethel's mom was hot. Mr. Weatherby's mom was hot.
Thank God your taste changed when you became a man. Oh, wait, have you?
Yes. I'll show you the test results.
I don't want to see it. Well, it's just weird to hear that at 52 and stroke. And I mean, we know a person here at work. There are many people at a young age who have had a stroke. No reason for it.
Right.
Like their risk factor was not really up there.
Do you remember an actor named Larry Breeding? Does that name ring a bell?
Sort of.
I think probably the thing you might know him from the most is in the last season or seasons of Laverne and Shirley. Laverne ended up marrying him. Larry Breeding is his name. Thin guy, curly hair.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him? He used to be on sitcoms quite a bit.
He was on a lot, yeah.
All right, so a friend of my wife's knew him very well, and he had a stroke while he was driving a car, and it ended up killing him.
God.
But he was in, like, the best health of his life. Couldn't have been in better health. Everything was working right. It's so unpredictable.
I can't think about that. Or I promise you, I will not get out of bed.
All the time.
Now I know why you freaked out about turning 50. I think I'm going to do that turning 60. Because that's like my grandparents' age. Not now, because they're no longer with us. But when I think back to...
Who's 60? Well, my grandparents are 60. Yeah. I know.
Good God, how can we turn this around? Turn this car around. I want to go back, Bill.
I have to talk to Benjamin Button and find out how he did it, where he went backwards instead of forwards.
That's a stupid
I want to start doing that.
Benjamin Button.
Did you ever see that movie?
No.
It's great.
Is it really good?
Yeah, it's great. It's a guy who ages back. He's born an old man, and then he gets younger as the story progresses.
Who's the star?
Brad Pitt.
Oh, maybe I'll watch it.
It's really good. And I dare you not to cry. I cried, I think, in four different parts of the movie. I just kept crying and crying and crying. I cried during the credits, when the credits were over.
You cry at Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
That's a sad movie.
Speaking of which, I don't know why it was on one of the channels, but National Lampoon's Vacation, when they're going, not the Christmas-related one, or is it?
Where are they going in this one? I'll tell you which one it was.
I can't remember.
Was it at Christmas time?
I can't remember. Was
it going to the Grand Canyon?
It was summer. This is when Imogene Coca's in it, and they pick her up.
That's the first one.
Okay, that's the one I watched.
National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yes, not Christmas Vacation. I'm sorry, I got them confused. It is the best movie ever. I'm sorry.
Take that, Citizen Kane.
I love that.
National Lampoon's Vacation is better than you.
I just have to tell you, that's when Chevy Chase was really, honestly, at his best.
Yeah.
And the young Beverly D'Angelo.
Oh. You can't beat a young Beverly D'Angelo.
Hey, Sparky.
Now, if I can tie this story together with what we were talking about earlier, did you know that John Candy, as of yesterday, has been gone for 25 years?
I saw that on Facebook, and I can't believe that.
Wow. There's a compilation put together of some of his best moments. I'm trying to remember where I saw it, but it had a long list of celebrities who commented on it. Because John Candy, when you think about him, you go, yeah, he was in that, he was good, and that it was good. But then you don't really think about it. He was in a ton of stuff, sometimes little bit parts. Like in Vacation, he's the guard who says, sorry, folks, Wally World's closed, you know. But boy.
One of the best movies that made me cry so hard was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
You know, in that movie,
heartbreaking.
He's so funny, and yet at a keep for people who have not seen it, go see it. Please go see it. It's really good.
But we're going to spoil it.
He shows you how a guy that you think you have figured out in a movie, I know what that guy's all about, and then he pulls something out of his hat where you just go, wow.
That's why you shouldn't judge people. You don't know what's cooking in their pot.
Yeah.
You really don't.
Yeah. My wife was in Only the Lonely with him.
Oh, that's right.
She played his sister-in-law in that, and they had a bunch of scenes together. And she said his first day on the set, because she had already been shooting for 2 or 3 days before he came in to do his starring role in Only the Lonely, he walked up to everybody, and introduced himself. And my wife said, I was like, she said to him, she goes, John, I know who you are. I bet most of the people here know who you are. But that's what he did when he got on. And then his last day on the set, he gave everybody a very expensive bottle of champagne. Very expensive bottle.
Was Terry nervous about meeting him? Because
you know, she wasn't.
Well, she's a professional.
And I kept saying to her, I said, can you do me a favor if there's a moment of downtime? Because on SCTV, he had all these characters that he played like once or twice, and that was it. Not running characters. And he played this guy who had a show that was about building things, and his name was Paul Fist in Your Face. And he was a really angry guy who had a show that was about building things. Hey, this is Paul Fist in Your Face. Today we're going to build a table. And I said, just at some point, just say to him, hey, do you still hear from Paul Fist in Your Face? And she goes, that'd be weird. And it would be. But I would have asked him.
Well, you're not your wife.
What do you hear from Paul Fist in Your Face? How's he doing? But 25 years, when you go, oh no, God. That can't be. We've not been without John Candy for that long. And his daughter, Jen, who we had on the show a couple of years ago, wrote a very nice thing. She had watched that compilation video. It's only like 2 minutes. And she just said it made her cry, you know, thinking about how much she misses him. We all miss him. He was so good at what he did.
He was amazing. All right, we have a phone call, and we have a different number here, which we should tell you. It's 312-235-2525. We need to give that out more. Hey, Molly.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Bill.
What's up, Molly?
So I'm...
Oh, this is Molly, Molly. This is Pete Zimmerman's wife, Molly,
oh,
Molly.
Hi.
Hi. So two of my biggest, like, childhood teen icons have now died, Peter Tork and Luke Perry. That is my range of who I grew up
with. It has been a horrible month for your icons.
It is. But Luke Perry, Pete texted me the news, and I, like, my legs, like, felt like they were going to fall out from under me.
Yeah.
So that's me as a 39-year-old. That's how much he meant
Molly,
to me when I was, like, a senior high.
Your love for him was obviously because of Beverly Hills 90210, right?
It was that and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh,
the Christy Swanson movie version.
Okay, so you're 39, but, I mean, think about it. What upsets me more than anything, crush or not, 52 years old. That's what's freaking me out.
Well, I don't want to, you know, get too serious about it, but he was like a lifelong smoker too, which you know.
That's the first thing they tell you to do. Like, you know, you quit smoking, it reduces your risk of stroke like 80% or something.
Wow.
Which, I mean, it could have happened either way, but when he had that stroke, that was the first thing that I was thinking about. And, like, he was a cool smoker, you know, so he had, like, that James Dean vibe to him.
Dean vibe to him.
Molly, who's the opposite of a cool smoker? Who do you see smoking strangely instead of cool?
Oh, man.
Jack Klugman.
Klugman. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, now, I'm thinking, like, yellow fingers. And,
Yeah. That's never good.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, because I swear, I knew Beverly Hills 90210 was on for years and years, but it just wasn't in my wheelhouse. Was he Shannon Doherty's brother or boyfriend on the show?
Boyfriend. Yeah, they had, like, the most iconic relationship of the series.
Jason Priestley and Shannon Doherty were brother and sister, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So they had, like they went to prom and she lost her virginity to him. Like, that was a big storyline. And
wow.
It was always kind of like, you know, he was like the rebel and her dad didn't like him. And
Were they going for a James Dean quality? Is that, do you think, what they were looking for in him?
For sure. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And he drove like a cute little Porsche.
Nice.
What was his last name? It was Dylan what?
McKay.
Oh, that's right.
Dylan McKay.
I jumped on that bandwagon very late in the series.
Hmm.
I did watch it for a while? Yeah. The last couple seasons I watched.
I'm going to binge watch it. Are there any dragons in it?
Dragons.
Yeah. Oh, no dragons.
I'm out.
All right, I'm out. Well, this is...
I watched it originally, and then it came on in reruns. So I watched it, like, you know, in junior high when probably I shouldn't have been. Like, maybe I was a little too young to watch it, but I loved it. But then it's come on for years in reruns, and every day when I was, like, in college, it came on twice a day in the afternoon, and I had to, like, get home and watch it. And I would watch the episodes, like, a million times in a row.
When we had Gabriella Cáceres on, she said that when she was playing on the show, so she was a high school kid, like a sophomore or a junior, and she was 32. Was that, could you tell she was 32, or did you buy it?
Yes, he was old too, and they looked old. Like, I think actually Tori and Brian Austin Green were, like, the only ones that were, like, close to the right age, and everyone that's kind of, like, one of the things about 90210, that they had, like, forehead wrinkles. They looked way too old.
Well, we are sorry for your loss.
Yeah, this is a bad month for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Awful.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Molly.
All right. Bye bye.
She had to get that off her chest.
I got to send a sympathy card over there.
No, she makes her own cards.
Oh, she does, doesn't she?
Oh, my God, yeah. La Familia.
Really nice one.
Yeah, they're beautiful. She's probably going to have one.
Special edition.
Luke Perry and a tear coming out of his eye. Holding a picture of Peter Tork.
Mm.
It's really sad.
He was not on Beverly Hills 90210.
No.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll get the rest of the news. Ryan Burrow will stop by and get you some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, and I feel the need to mention Keith Flint, the fiery frontman of British dance electronic band The Prodigy. He was found dead on Monday at his home near London. He was only 49, so I feel like, you know,
part of that industrial rock beats music that came in mid to late 90s.
Would it be fair to say that he was an imposing-looking gentleman? Have you seen pictures of him?
I could have taught him a little about eye makeup.
He wore quite a bit of eye makeup.
I remember them. Ryan's right. When we worked at Q101, we played
a little
that.
Bit of
yeah.
that. Yeah. Yep.
He was the stage persona of the band, whose 90s hits Firestarter and Breathe were a fusion of techno, breakbeat, and acid house music.
Kind of got in with that, the Chemical Brothers and who else? Probably Fatboy Slim, kind of in that same era. Mm-hmm.
Did they do the Warped Van skateboard tour
I'm sure
or something?
Did. I'm sure they did.
Well, that's sad. 49 years old.
Was that band still working, Prodigy, or is that from long ago?
No, I don't know that they...
I feel like they may have been doing some shows. I don't know if it was the original, because it was only two of them, I think, right?
Oh, that's it?
I think so.
Prodigy co-founder Liam Howlett said in an Instagram post that Flint killed himself over the weekend. Very sad.
Horrible.
And here's another story that's just worth mentioning. Jerry Lee Lewis had a stroke and is expected to recover. And look at Luke Perry at 52. And how
but
old is Jerry
can
Lee?
Be,
I know. They run the gamut.
There's such a wide variety of, you know, severity.
Sure. Jerry Lee Lewis is 83.
Wow. Yeah, I guess he is, isn't he?
Wowza.
In his 80s. Wow.
All right, well, there's our three. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't get Jerry Lee. No, that's your job, Bill. You're usually the one that does that.
I'm the one who mentions people, and then they die soon thereafter.
Well, how about three bad, sad stories of health?
Yes.
I have some good news.
Finally.
That we could have had a fourth man, a 36-year-old man. His car was stranded in Oregon, and there was a big snowstorm, and it was stranded for 5 days. And he survived by eating Taco Bell taco sauce packages, the fire sauce, and he kept starting the engine periodically to warm up. That's all he had.
Just the sauce, just the packages, nothing else.
Yeah, and the fire sauce, not the, I prefer the mild.
Sure.
There's hot. Is it Diablo? Is the top of the line?
I only go by colors, right? There's the orange, there's the red, the purple. Is there a green one?
I don't know. I know my kids like the fire. I like the mild. But a snowmobiler found Jeremy Taylor, 36 years old, of Sun River in Oregon on Friday. And a search and rescue team member who rode to him on a large snow tractor brought him out of the woods. He's an avid outdoorsman. He loves to go off-roading and went off-road. He was last seen getting gas on February 24th. Mm-hmm. He told his rescuers that he and his dog, Allie, became stuck in really deep snow on a U.S. Forest Service road later that same day. He slept in his car, which that had to have gotten so cold.
Oh, yeah.
Very fast. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
He slept in his car when he awoke on Monday. More snow had fallen. He attempted to hike out, but the snow was way too deep. So he and his dog returned to his car.
Did you say there was a cell phone or there was not a cell phone?
I didn't say anything about a cell phone.
No.
I mean, if he's in a real rural area,
he might
may not
signal.
Get a signal.
No.
Can you hear me now? Thank you, everyone. I'm safe. My Allie dog is safe. Really appreciate all the help. Got lucky. Let's never do that again. He did not reply to a message sent through Facebook on Saturday in response to a friend's Facebook comment about how he ate 3 Taco Bell hot sauce packets during the ordeal. He joked, Taco Bell fire sauce saves lives.
Oh, yeah.
What did the dog eat?
That's a good question.
Because if a dog gets too hungry, the dog's going to eat him.
I was, you know, at the risk of sounding like somebody who doesn't like pets. 10 minutes in, I'd be trying to figure out if the dog is lunch or dinner.
You would never eat a dog.
If
you
it was
be
to
so,
survive,
no, you would be worried there'd be dog hair in it.
Well, I know there'd be dog hair in a dog. That's a given.
That would keep you away.
But I always have a razor with me. I would shave part of the dog.
No, you would not.
And I would say, there's lunch, and there's dinner coming around the around the bed.
If that's true, Harry should pull your sponsorship.
I'm going to start adding that to commercials. Great for shaving your dog if you're ever stuck.
The key to this story is Taco Bell fire sauce saves lives. What's hot, what's cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. I have to ask you, because you love this kind of thing, Bill, and Ryan, I know you're a newsman extraordinaire, so I'm sure you saw this video. Did you see that giant, enormous tarantula eating an opossum.
Yeah.
Carrying away an opossum.
Yes.
I have not seen that.
Oh, my God. They said.
In the rainforest.
That there's a
the Rainforest Cafe.
All right.
They don't have a problem with the giant
tarantulas. You could eat possums there.
Yes.
They said the tarantula was the size of a baseball. The opossum was the size of a softball. Yeah. 16 or 12 inch, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And the spider was carrying it away. And
like it was nothing.
I know. And they said that tarantulas typically are not that big, first of all. And secondly, they eat insects usually.
Yeah.
But this thing carried off
an
opossum.
Yeah, good sized one. Ooh.
That just gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I watched that. The people who were filming it didn't seem that creeped out by it. They just seemed like crazy.
Zoom lens.
You see crazy stuff sometimes. Were they far away?
I'm sure. Who would ever be close to
that? Yeah, I'd be afraid that I'd be next, right? Well, first we start there and eventually work yourself up to humans.
Don't they say at some point in the video that they encounter strange things at night there? Which is that all I need to hear is that, and then I'm not invited. I'm like, well, you guys go and do it, and show me a video.
I'm hanging out in a rainforest in the middle of the night, right?
And, you're going to see things.
Yeah, you're going to see some stuff.
All right. Well, that video was crazy.
All right. Now it's my turn for a strange story. How about this guy? He's a basketball player for Michigan. His name is Ignas Brezdikas. And the problem is that when he plays, the opposing fans chant "You are ugly" at him.
Oh, that is so mean.
Maryland head coach Mark Turgeon thinks his team's fans can do better with their chants. During Sunday's home game against Michigan, the Terrapins faithfully taunted Wolverines freshman forward Ignas Brezdikas by chanting, "What I told you, you are ugly," as he stepped in to try for his free throws. Maryland's PA guy promptly got on the mic and then told fans to knock it off.
Is that because he really is ugly?
He's not classically handsome,
okay.
I say in the diplomatic way. I've seen way worse.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen far uglier than this guy. But it's just weird that
that's
crowd
good to know.
Would unite and decide, as this guy's going to the free throw line, let's take a shot at his looks.
I mean, they got the last laugh. I watched that game yesterday, and Michigan won.
They took care of it, right.
Uh-huh.
Rudy Gierstein of the Washington Post revealed that it was Turgeon who made the request for the fans to quit with their ugly taunts. It's got to be serious when somebody comes on the PA system and says, "All right, we've had our fun. We all know this guy isn't that handsome. Let's leave it at that." Thank you, says Brezdikas.
He needs a new haircut. That's all he needs. It's not doing much for him.
Yeah, the haircut's not the best, but You've seen handsomer guys. You've seen uglier guys, right?
Yeah,
the Bulls have a guy that looks like a caveman. I'm not going to name names.
I know.
But there's a guy in the Bulls who looks like a caveman, and I always say to myself, I wonder what happens.
You know, the funny thing is, he's got a twin brother too.
What does he look like?
Not so much.
No. A woolly mammoth.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brezdikas, 20-year-old native of Lithuania, got the last laugh. As Ryan pointed out, he totaled 21 points and had 7 rebounds in the eventual 69-62 victory for Michigan. As for the Terrapins, they probably need to step up their game. We've heard plenty more creative taunts on the hardwood of late. You are ugly. You are ugly. What must that be like, a 20-year-old guy going up to shoot free throws, and he hears an entire crowd chanting that?
Yeah. Well, you know, that game, actually, that's one of those games that's going to mess me up because I'll do one of these bracket pools. And I saw that game and I'm like, oh, Michigan's good. Michigan's really good. So I'm going to end up picking them to go real far because I watched that one game.
Yeah.
We had, so I went to Valparaiso University, and at the time they were in the MidCon Conference and they played against Youngstown State. And Youngstown State had a basketball player by the name of Peter Brady.
Peter Brady.
Yes. So when he stepped to the free throw line, our student section was going, "When it's time to change."
Yeah, but that's
funny.
That's good stuff.
This is just mean and not very original.
Right.
And he looks like Flea, kind of, from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, he does a little
like
bit.
Like a young version.
Yeah.
A young, more athletic Flea.
If you can imagine such a being.
Although Flea's in pretty good shape if you see him without his shirt.
So when this guy calls home to Lithuania and they say, what is his first name? Brezdikas? Is that his name?
Ignas.
Ignis, how are things going? Is everything going well there in the States? Are you enjoying your basketball? Does he say, oh, Mom.
Are you enjoying your basketball?
Are you enjoying your basketball, young Ignis? Mom, the people are very mean. They chant, you are ugly to me. Does he even bring that up to his family? Or does he just go, no, everything's great. Enjoying every minute of it.
It's possible.
That's just so rude.
Who started it? Who went, hey, everybody, get behind me on this one. I've got a clever little chant. Just back me up on this one. Give me a beat. You are ugly. You are, and then the PA guy goes, enough of this. We can't allow this anymore.
Well, I saw that the head coach of Purdue this weekend also, on, it was senior day, and he took to the microphone and told the fans to stop chanting, IU sucks. He said, we're better than that.
When I went to Oak Forest High School.
Okay.
And my friend, I had a friend there named Kevin Sock.
Okay.
S-O-C-H. And we were all up in the bleachers, and Kevin comes in and doesn't see us in the bleachers. This is at a football game. And my friends all keep yelling, sock, like that. And a father stands up, and he goes, I don't care if you like the other team or you don't like the other team. You're not going to continue to yell that during the game. That's going to stop right now. And then my friend came, we had to show him the driver's license. This is his name, sir. No one's yelling suck. We're thinking it. We're not yelling.
And we're from Chicago, so you probably were going, sock.
Right.
Sock.
Right.
As opposed to suck.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Shame on that man. Well, I just don't like the whole ugly thing. That is just a terrible thing. Be more creative. If you're going to slam someone,
right.
Be like,
You are not well read. That kind
or
of thing.
Something, you know, as creative as yelling the person's name like they do with Corey Crawford all the time,
right.
Which is just the dumbest thing
ever. The two-syllable chant.
Crawford. How does that bother him? I would think they love me.
They know my name. I've succeeded.
Although
name.
He had a rough first game back over the weekend.
Yeah. He looks a little tentative. Doesn't
he hasn't played in, what, a year almost?
Did you ever get to the heart of what was the problem there or no?
A couple, two concussions.
Yeah.
Two of them. Okay. Serious concussions.
You know, these are the kind of concussions where you have to be woken up three times in the middle of the night to...
Oh, I don't know that, but...
I don't know that you still do that anymore.
You don't wake people up?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, that was the thing for a while?
Yeah, I had a concussion. We got in a car accident and a suitcase hit me in the head and I had a big dent in the corner of my
head?
Yeah, in the suitcase.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Head did some damage.
It did do some damage. We were on the way to Cape Cod and I've never been there. We got in an accident on the way there. We got hit by a semi. I was laying in the back of the hatchback, like there was a back mm-hmm. seat, but you know, I was just kind of, since I was the only one in the back seat, and yeah. The back folded over me, and the luggage came flying and hit goodness. Me in the head, and I was okay, and I felt okay, but they said, no, you have a concussion, and that night, my mom had to wake me up, I think it was like every hour, just to make sure, because you can go into such a deep sleep and never wake up.
Oh.
So that's what they say about concussions, but I don't know if they have that now.
I don't know either. There are protocols now.
Or they're, well, you know what, like diabetics now don't have to use the needles to give themselves shots. They have a pump. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a pump to wake you up every, like, it'll just jostle you to wake you up every hour.
Yeah. We all have Siri now, right? I mean, she can wake us up.
Yeah, that's true.
What was the movie? There's some movie where a kid is on a bike and gets hit and then has a concussion and then it's business as usual. And then the kid dies as the aftermath of getting hit. It's like a real innocent, like not a major accident, just a real light. The car hits the bike. He swerves off. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Everything's fine. And then the kid dies. I remember Lyle Lovett is in it. That's all I remember.
I don't know that one.
That doesn't sound familiar at all?
Yeah, it does sound familiar.
Because I remember seeing it, and everyone in the theater is like, you can't just let a kid die from a minor bicycle accident like that.
Where do you see things? You and David Sock, or whatever his name is?
Kevin Sock.
Is that who was there? Who's yelling out, you can't have anything?
Why I love it was just at Chicago Theater. I just saw that up there. He was doing some kind of tour called Love It or Leave It.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I would see it just for that.
There you go. Oh, hooked me. I'm in. Here's my money.
Remember when he got married to Julia Roberts?
Yes.
My mom would not accept that marriage. My mom just flat out said, that can't be.
Apparently,
and I go, of course it can be. It happened.
She was going the right way on that because it didn't last, right?
No, it did not last long at all. But that was, I would say, an unlikely pairing.
Yes.
They didn't seem...
Was it Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No. No. It had a huge cast of people, and Lyle Lovett was a baker in the movie, I remember.
The Dewey Cox story?
No.
That's a really great... movie, by the way. Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Oh, yeah.
Story.
Very funny.
That is really funny. The Open Road.
No.
Castle.
No.
This
would have been about 25 years ago.
A TV movie, Bill's on His Own. 1983.
No, that was a movie about me.
Beyond the...
Just by myself for a while. It was like Home Alone. I did a cheap version of Home Alone.
Okay.
The Player?
But Daniel Stern was still in it.
Shortcuts? Ready to Wear?
Shortcuts sounds right. Yeah, Shortcuts.
1993-ish?
Yes.
Let's see what the synopsis of Shortcuts is about.
Tell me who directed it. I'll tell you if it was it or not.
Robert Altman.
Yeah, it was Robert Altman. That was it exactly. It was like six or seven different stories.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
Bruce Davidson, the guy who played Willard.
Davison. Andy McDowell.
Andy McDowell.
Jack Lemmon.
Was Jack Lemmon in that?
It's according to IMDb.
I don't remember him in there.
He was in it, Julianne Moore, Matthew Modine, Ann Archer, Fred Ward, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Chris Penn.
Yes. Lori Singer.
Oh.
Right?
Madeline Stowe. I don't see her. Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Sr. Robert Downey III.
I don't see her.
They played identical triplets in it.
Lori Singer has not been mentioned yet. Sam Shepard.
I Shall Not Want.
Oh, no, he's not in it.
He's not in it. I wouldn't put him in that.
Tim Robbins.
He'd ruin it.
Lily Tomlin, Tom Waits.
What a cast. Tom Waits.
God.
With subtitles so you can understand what he's telling you during the movie.
Frances McDormand.
Yes.
Lori Singer. Lyle Lovett, Buck Henry, Huey Lewis.
Yep.
I gotta see this.
It's pretty good. But if you get sad with scenes with kids that are in minor bicycle accidents and then don't make it to the end of the movie, do not see this movie.
Spoiler alert.
Alex Trebek is in it.
Yep, he's magnificent in it.
He plays himself.
He plays the King of France.
you're just encouraging him.
It was such weird casting, but then by the second or third scene, you're like, I
get it now.
He's the King of France, that guy with the mustache and the index cards.
I don't know.
What a crazy
Bruce
movie.
Bruce Davison is.
That's Willard. Remember Willard? The guy with all the rats?
Yeah.
With Ernest Borgnine? You made me hate myself. That's my favorite line from that movie.
Why don't we have you do a line from a movie? And
you have to guess the weird movie?
But can we
Did you ever see that movie, Willard?
Yeah, but I don't really remember.
He's like this total social outcast, and his only friends are rats.
Yeah.
Most notably...
Michael Jackson.
Ben, the two of us, We Live No More.
Yeah.
Boy, Michael Jackson started the show and will end the show.
Yeah.
Ben and Socrates are his two favorite rats, and he trains the rats to carry out any vengeance he has. Like,
Does he have a lot of vengeance?
Yeah,
Does he have a lot of anger?
You can't believe... he's got all kinds of anger, and then his boss is Ernest Borgnine, and he doesn't like his boss, so he has the rats do something really nasty to him.
Yeah, I did see it.
Yeah. Oh. That was crazy. And do you remember who played Willard in the remake of it?
Ed Begley Jr.
No.
But he would have been good.
He would have been fantastic.
Who?
Think about who would have been...
Jim Ignatowski, that guy.
No.
I can't remember.
Who would have been our generation's weirdest actor?
Ted Knight.
You think Ted Knight is our generation's weirdest actor? No.
Oh, Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
He was in the remake of it. Very good.
I do remember. I did see that.
And then a tarantula came and ate him?
Yes, in the end.
But he liked it because he's a little
weird. He loved it. He came up, when I was at WLS, Crispin Glover came up because he made a movie... what was the title of this movie?
This is the whole show today. Bill brings stuff up and IMDb it. Yeah.
Everyone in the cast of this movie had Down syndrome. That was his selling point for the movie. and we had him on to talk about it. And I said to him, I go, I don't think this has ever been done. And he goes, no, isn't that great? And I go, yeah, I guess. Is it? Like, that was the whole selling point of the movie, is that he only cast actors with Down syndrome.
Huh. I like that.
Which is interesting, I guess. I didn't get to see the movie. He was only playing at one art house, and it came and went very, very quickly.
He was a great Andy Warhol in the Doors movie. I just saw that a couple weekends ago.
Crispin Glover was. Yeah.
I read something that said that Daniel Radcliffe is the new weirdest actor out there.
He's taken a lot of weird choices.
Yeah.
Because he wants so much to distance himself from Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. That whenever he gets offered something that is just as crazy as can be, he jumps at it.
He's doing some kind of, what is it, a TBS series with Steve Buscemi where they're in heaven or he's the devil or she got
the devil.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that...
Hurry up, we have to take a break.
Oh, we do. All right, very, very quickly. Have you seen any of the clips from a show that's coming on called Nosferatu?
No. They're remaking that again?
Do you know? Yeah. Nosferatu was Dracula before Dracula was Dracula.
Okay.
It was, you know, over 100 years ago they made the first version of Nosferatu. So he's a vampire, but he's even creepier than Dracula. So they're doing it, I think, on FX. Is it FX that's doing it? He drives a motorcycle with a license plate that says Nosferatu.
Okay.
It's like a totally updated version of the old story, but I can't wait to see it. It looks really, really good.
Sounds very Preacher-like.
Yeah, there's elements of that. There is elements of it. Ryan, thanks for hanging out.
Thank you.
We'll close things off next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I'm going to get a drum kit, Wendy.
For what?
Because I may switch careers. I may become a drummer.
Doubt it.
I'm thinking about it.
You know why?
Thanks for your support.
I would like it, because I really feel sorry for drummers. They always get the brunt of the jokes, and
right.
It's not fair. That's why you wouldn't be a drummer.
Because of the jokes?
Yeah.
I want to turn drumming on its ear. I want to bring respect to the world of drumming.
You are not the man to do it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Bill. I love you, but really, you're not the guy to do it.
Bands are already texting me.
Who?
So far, just Slipknot. I'll probably get more as the day goes on. All right, that's it for today's show, everybody. Catch me and the guys from Slipknot in Tucson, Arizona, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock start. Should be a good show.
What happened to your other band you had?
Which one? Oh, Somali Ringwald?
No.
Not quite as good as Ezra?
Yeah.
We're still working.
Busy, busy.
That's it, everybody. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Tune in again tomorrow. We'll give it another shot. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.